Welcome, everybody. First, I want to just tell you a brief story. We're going to be switching gears a little bit. This is sort of an interesting project because a couple years ago, I was during a visit back to my hometown, you know, Sichuan, China, Chengdu. So I went to visit my medical school that I was graduated from. So I spoke with Dr. Dong, who's director of the geriatrics department in the University Hospital, and trying to see whether there are any research opportunities. And she mentioned, well, we had this wonderful survey of older adults who were older than 90 years old, who were born before 1915, right? And we have quite a few hundred of them. And so that sort of began a this interesting project. So at that time, I was still with the graduate program in public health at Stony Brook University. So Lucy was one of the students who were was from China. So I thought, well, this would be a good training opportunity. So she did that as a project. So having said that, basically, we're looking into nutritional factors predicting poor nutritional status among Chinese oldest old. We don't have any financial or otherwise to disclose. Well, basically, it has will be obviously familiar with this audience that malnutrition in the elderly is really some consider a silent crisis in the sense that it's widely prevalent, but it's sort of underappreciated for in large part due to some of the prior presenters mentioning in terms of eating alone, living in isolation, and so on and so forth. So it's really, and especially recently during the past 10 years, because of the fact that overnutrition or, you know, obesity has garnered such sort of policy and public health focus that somehow, you know, malnutrition, the other side of the equation underweight, has really not been explored as extensively. So, and also, I don't think anybody would argue that, right, poor nutrition is really linked to a wide array of health outcomes in terms of functional decline, mortality, and as well as disabilities. So it's important to understand these multi-factorial factors that are contributing to malnutrition in this population. And also, numerous studies have documented that for older adults, being a little overweight as compared to having normal weight or underweight is actually associated with the lower mortality, which is some termed as the obesity paradox. Mechanisms were unclear, and one aspect obviously would be underweight older folks are associated with the prior, I guess, chronic condition, functional decline, and more importantly, perhaps cancer. So that's why it's just really a different group. And finally, in terms of minority, oldest old might be at increased risk. This study sample is slightly different as we sort of put the aging of a society into a broader context. While in developed countries, in terms of aging in the next few decades, it's going to rapidly picking up because in part, large part due to the aging of baby boomers. For developing countries, especially countries in Asia, China, India, Japan, for example, they're actually going to be confronting with even more critical challenges. So, for example, between now and 2050, the older population among the developing countries is expect to close to quadruple in terms of the total number of people. So it's going to obviously, Japan among them is going to be way ahead of sort of the aging curve in terms of a lot of issues or challenges. So the main objective of this study is to assess the prevalence of malnutrition in a sample of the Chinese oldest old adults. And the second objective is to identify risk factors associated with the poor nutritional status. The instrument that were used here is called the Mini Nutrition Assessment, or MNA, a short form. MNA is a validated screening tool and has been widely used since 1994. It has two components. It begins with a short form subset of seven questions. And then it was developed by Nestle, the company in Switzerland. The short form is a six item. The seven items that is really sort of a substitute. The last item was asking about BMI. In the case of BMI was not available, you can substitute with the calf circumference as another measure. So it's a six item brief questionnaire. Studies have documented the validity and accuracy in terms of the association between the short form and the full MNA scale. As I said, the calf circumference can be used to substitute. So this is a little chart that sort of locates where it's sort of southwest China, and then the region is around 21 towns of Dujiangyan, Sichuan province. I don't know if people still recall, but actually this survey was done in 2005 with the help of a group of medical students from Sichuan University Medical School. So they went in, actually did the survey. And unfortunately, like a year after the study, you probably heard the earthquake, which it was magnitude 8. And it's about like 20 miles from Dujiangyan. So we couldn't sort of follow up with these folks. So hope, you know, the prayers really with these participants and their families. So the original study was funded through this Bureau of Civil Service. So from Dujiangyan area, what they were interested in to find to basically do a census of the oldest old group in the 21 towns. So what they did is that they through the sort of unique Chinese thing where they have the registration right system. So they identified originally 1,400 people, and then they were approached and surveyed 870 of them for a response rate of 63%. The main reasons for exclusion were due to death, dropout, or refusal. And further exclusions were applied because of the purpose of this study, that if they had extensive missing information on MNA, then they will not be excluded. So the final sample consists of 692 older adults aged 90 and over in 2005. So it's a cross-sectional study. Like I mentioned, trained student interviewers went to the homes of all these older adults. The age were verified through the registration system to make sure they really belong to this group. And also, in addition, as part of the study, all these participants were invited to get a physical. So to have blood sample taken, measurement taken, at the local hospital where they get primary care. So the dependent variable of this study is considered a yes or no question, poor nutrition. Now this outcome was defined as based on the MNA score of under 12, so it's 11 or under. The reason is basically a malnourished group is considered very small, which I'll show you in a minute. So we combine the two groups with at risk or are malnourished considered. Independent variables considered are socio-demographics, behavioral and lifestyle questions, and then chronic conditions and physical and cognitive functioning, and life satisfaction, chronic medical conditions. So I'll show you briefly the descriptive statistic, and also we did a multivariate logistic regression predicting the likelihood of either at risk or were malnourished. So the mean age, about 94 years in range, 90 to 108. 21% men, you know, as we would expect, and 21% men and 36% women were over the age of 95. 68 predominantly, two-thirds were female, as we expected. And because of the geographic location, 93% were Han Chinese, so the main ethnic group in China. 74% had no formal education. Again, this is considered, right, born prior to 1915, so it's very sort of under educated, and especially the sort of gender differential, right? 90% women in the sample have no formal education. 7% lived alone, reflecting well, these are probably associated with the better independence, as we know. And a great majority were farmers before, I guess, retirement, if there was a retirement, right? And only 32% with ADL limitations, based on the self-reported measure, which is, well, surprisingly low, right? Which explains how, I guess, they made it to the ninth decade, right? And then 67 with IADL, so shopping, you know, doing housework and managing finances. And 73% with the comorbid conditions. The mini MNA score, first of all, the scale ranged from 4 to 14, higher meaning better, right? So the at risk was identified as under 12. So 10.3, on the low side. And 6% were considered malnourished. And 71% were considered as a risk of malnutrition. So leaving about a little less than a quarter considered well-nourished. Because the MNA has to be a self-report, so we excluded people who have cognitive limitations as measured by mini-mental state exam. That turned out to be actually a sort of a prolonged exercise because of the differences in terms of a cut point. So we sort of work on that a lot, and we were able to find the Chinese version of validated study. And then, as we know, the sort of the cognitive status was associated with education. So for a low education group, you actually had to adjust the cut point. So in any case, this is a selected baseline characteristic of the sample by gender. And a few of them sustained weight loss and severe food intake decline. Well, we actually have more detailed information. We haven't been able to do it in terms of the type of food, frequency of meals, and then mobility limitations. In terms of MMSE, the mean was about 16, which is low, again, probably in part due to the education. And BMI, right, and the sort of slightly over the cut point of underweight, and then calf circumference. So table two shows the multivariate analysis in terms of the covariates. We only found three factors that were significantly associated with at risk for poor nutritional status: male gender, good health, and you know, self-rated health, better health, and serum albumin level, which is basically sort of one of the measure for the level of protein used to measure nutritional status. By and large, the functional status, fluid consumed per day, or meals per day, you know, does not, didn't show up. And then the disease is also, you know, sort of a counterintuitive. I believe it might have to do with the fact that you're basically asking them to recall. Obviously, the hypertension, we have actually their blood pressure measures, so we can validate that. But I'm not very sure about the respiratory or GI symptoms. So and studies have shown that GI system disease is actually should be associated with the nutritional status. In summary, the prevalence of malnutrition in this sample is, to put in context of the current literature, is somewhat in line with the studies found in other countries, including the U.S. So we found it was about 6%, where the literature shows about 5.8%. So that's good. And also in terms of at-risk group, it varies a lot. For example, in a Swiss recent study, a Swedish sample showed that there are only 17% were at risk considered. And in general, it ranges from 29 to 53% with a wide range. So in this Chinese oldest old group, it's fairly high. Sort of suggesting that efforts should be made in terms of both screening, monitoring, but also potential intervention. Well, and finally, significant factors of poor nutrition is female gender and poor self-reported health and lower serum albumin level. Number of limitations. First, it's a regional sample. And it's predominantly Han Chinese, and so the generalizability could be limited. And also cognitive impairment, well, we have to exclude it, but that doesn't make them not important. So future studies need to perhaps use objective measures to ascertain the prevalence among cognitive impaired older adults. And finally, self-reported current disease, as I mentioned, might be not measuring, what we're trying to measure. And finally, cross-sectional design limits our ability to draw, causal conclusions. Thank you very much.
I want to ask the come up to the front so that people can ask questions.
Modeling, yes. Yes. Right. So the question is putting these chronic conditions as indicator, simultaneously might introduce collinearity issues. I think it's certainly a valid question. We've also tried basically add those up basically to create an index of a number of chronic conditions, and I don't believe the results differ.
I think that's absolutely a crucial question, actually. I'll have to go back and look whether they had a dental work done.
Because in particular, I think that might be related to depending upon what your normal form of protein is. Because if you can't chew meat, then you would expect that your protein levels would be lower, which is something that's a risk factor. Other questions?
Works on the looking to how many food programs
we're more focused in our project on what they're cooking and how they're getting that on their own. But I think that's very true. A lot of the people in our facility do, not in our focus group, but I know in the facility itself that is available to them.
Yeah, I would just add that we have, you know, five panels for various agencies on aging that do provide meals on wheels, but there are a lot of social factors that are barriers to receiving those. A lot of the older adults don't like to get them. They may not like the food in there. There are a lot of canned vegetables. They don't like that. It may not be the healthiest thing in the world. It might have a lot of sodium. I'm not sure. But they don't want to be seen as accepted charity. They don't want to admit that they need something. You know, it's just not as simple as I made it sound. So your question is good. But it is available.
I feel that's interesting in the community. So do we have services that they're not using? Do we need to change our services? Do we need to make more services available?
A lot of people also say they want individualized meals. They just want what they like. And of course, that would be a logistic nightmare, you know. It's not an easy problem to solve.
Organization where we provide meals. We used to provide Meals on Wheels New York City. No longer does that. They followed the Philadelphia point of view instead and went with one provider that does a prepackaged meal for everybody. All meals are supposed to be nutritionally healthy. Whether they really are or not, there's lots of arguments, like you said very well. People have preferences, they have ethnic preferences, they have food preferences in general, and one size doesn't tend to fit all. But what I really wanted to address was the availability question, because we aren't making enough food available, and that doesn't quite get said in any of these studies. For example, senior centers, I can only speak to New York City. New York City has about 336 senior centers. They have an average of about 100 seats apiece, and that's the amount of money of meals the city is funding. But the city has way more than that number of seniors. In a city the size of New York, when you're talking about the percentage of elderly that we have, clearly there are a lot of people who could use the meals, but it's just, in practical terms, not available. The other issue is where centers get located, because in metropolitan areas, the senior centers were always seen as being in the neighborhood, and therefore being in walking distance of the neighborhood, so that mobility impairments and transportation weren't at issue. But in fact, the ethnic group may have changed, what meal is being provided by the old sponsor, as opposed to what the people in the neighborhood want now, changes. And so there are so many factors that influence what people choose that you really need to look at things other than just the straight nutritional question when you're trying to approach food issues. You also have a tremendous food insecurity problem nationally. It's not a local problem, it's a national problem. And so I'm running a senior center next door to a food pantry, and my seniors come and have lunch at the senior center and then go online and get food at the food pantry, because often they're feeding the whole family with the package that they get from the food pantry. So there were a high number of factors that we're starting to see as food insecurity is increasing, jobs are decreasing, housing costs are increasing. So I think that you've hit a key topic. I just would like to see a lot more exploration of all of the social and other factors that play in.
I think that's a really good point. I think qualitative work to try to also get at how is it that people decide to, that either it's bad enough or I'm really poor enough that I'm willing to go seek out these services and I'm going to use these, but maybe that's something I've never done before in my life. You know, I've never needed that. And I think there's a lot of barriers, psychological barriers there.
just a quick follow-up comment. I think that that was a great point in terms of, first of all, you know, other factors in addition to sort of the traditional medical and, you know, family, but more social, but also in terms of settings. You know, urban is certainly going to be different from, you know, suburban and perhaps even rural and more remote areas in terms of accessibility and delivery mechanism.
And also to follow up on something very simple that the senior facility just incorporated last year, starting from this project that started last year, was a shuttle to go to the grocery store. I mean, people aren't getting there because they can't walk to the grocery store. They're not driving, a lot of them. Just something simple, if you don't have family around, how are you going to get there? So just something simple like getting the, you know, the transportation to take people to places that would have better options available is something very logical and very easy, but often overlooked.
Yeah, I was just going to add something that came from a session earlier today about we were discussing sort of aging in place and modifying homes. One of the things that would probably help some older adults nutritionally is, in fact, just reorganizing their kitchen, because many of them stop cooking because things are placed either in a place I can't reach because I can't reach my arms anymore, or it's too low, I can't get down, or my cookware is too heavy. I know my grandmother used those iron skillets, which I can't pick up anymore with carpal tunnel, so I don't know how someone who's 85 is doing that. But if you, sometimes if you just reorganize some of these things so that they're more prominent, people, in fact, could still cook their own meals and so forth, but their kitchens are poorly set up as well. It's a great topic. We all like to talk about food.